Hey there, and welcome to the Marketing Genius Podcast, the show designed to teach you how to sell, how to build systems, create strategy, and of course, how to become a marketing genius. What's up, everybody? Grant Wise here. Welcome to the Marketing Genius Podcast. I am so excited today to be joined by the one and only Miss Carrie Scholl, who's agreed to jump by and share just some gold like she always does. I've followed her for quite some time, and hopefully you have too. I promise just by the simple act of doing that, you will learn something. So Carrie, thanks so much for jumping on with us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Awesome. So you've had an interesting like past couple of weeks. You've been in a lab coat conference. You have been premiered in a really funny video of another agent freaking out, creating a little virality for yourself. What's the last couple of weeks been like for you?
Well, I also had a baby in the last couple of weeks. So there's two. Yeah. I have a 2-month-old baby.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. A couple months. I thought I didn't know it was like, I was like a couple weeks. No, that's like maybe a month or two ago, but yeah, that's like, awesome. Congratulations.
So a lot going on for me. The video that you're talking about, the Tracy Tudor video, that was hilarious. If you guys haven't watched that, you need to go check it out on my Instagram.
It was hysterical. I was, I didn't know what to expect because I was like, what is this video?
And then when I first saw it, I was like so uncomfortable. I was just laughing like a school child. And I'm like, I have to do something. This is like so funny that it's uncomfortable for me.
And, you know, Pat, man, that guy took it like a champ. He's a true professional. He was definitely.
My favorite thing of the whole, like when I was like uncomfortable out of my mind is when he said, hey, what questions do people normally ask you? Cause I'll ask you those, like he, in such a genuine, kind way. And she was just a meanie right back.
Yeah. Like, nope. F you. I'm leaving. Bye. I was dying. And then I saw I got picked up by Inman, who posted about it and all kinds of stuff. That's hilarious. Yeah. If you guys don't know what we're talking about, definitely go to Carrie's Instagram and check it out. It was really funny. So tell us, who is Carrie Scholl? Who are you and how did you get to where you are today? For those that don't know who you are, what's the story?
Okay. Well, I'll give you kind of where I am today and then I'll work backwards. So I have a huge team. I'm the top agent in the DMV, which is Virginia, Maryland, and DC. We have about 75 people on our team today. And our goal for this year is 1,000 transactions and over $500 million in real estate sales volume. So that gives you kind of perspective of where we are in the business. But I'm going to take you all the way back to the beginning. I was deciding between real estate and the Oscar Mayer Wiener Girl. So that's where the journey began. And thank God, my friend was really persuasive that got a job in real estate and convinced me. Actually, Jake Dreyfuss, I don't know if you know him. He is the CEO of Philly Living.
Yeah, I don't know him.
He's awesome. You should interview him at some point. He is a really, really good guy. So he convinced me to take a real estate job instead of the Oscar Mayer Wiener Girl. And I moved to the DC area to sell new homes for what I told my mother was 1 year, because I'm from Portland, Oregon, and I told her I would move back. I'm still here. Sorry, Mom. And basically, I fell in love with the business. You know, I really liked helping people figure out the right path for them. And so my background was in PR and psychology in school, and I felt like real estate ended up being the perfect home for me. The thing that I didn't like was being stuck in a model home. Like, I'm one of the most social people that I know. So the idea of sitting there, and if no one came that day, I was like crushed. My soul was sad because I was totally isolated. So I transitioned into the resale market. And very quickly knew that I wanted a team. Like, the thing that was missing for me in the beginning was that I would like wander around my office trying to find somebody that I wanted as a mentor, someone that I wanted to follow, I couldn't find the person I wanted to emulate. And so I felt a little lost. Also, my broker was in the hospital, so I didn't have training and support in the brokerage that I was in. So it was kind of like, I didn't know where I was going. I didn't have the vision, I didn't have the training and support. And so I was kind of wandering for my first 2 years in the business. And that's actually something that's given me a lot of passion into what I do today with Hyperfast Agent and our coaching side, because I want to avoid agents feeling that way and help them compress time to success in their business.
Love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. So traditionally I would ask a really like basic question right here, but I have a question that I want to ask you based on what you had pursued your degree in, a little bit of psychology. Did you say that you graduated with a degree in psychology or a degree in
public relations and psychology? Yeah.
PR and psychology. Yeah. So I believe personally that psychology is, you know, vastly, vastly important to the sales process. And so do you think that your study of psychology has helped you become such a good salesperson?
Yes. I think that, I'm going to be very honest here. For me, college was about keg stands and having a lot of fun. Okay. So I might not have been the most tuned in student. But I think the reason that I was interested in psychology is because it's fascinating to me, the way people think about the world and about each other, because relationships in this business and how they relate not only to you, but also to their husband, to their wife, to their children, to the other parties that are involved in their decision. I think that to be a really successful agent, you have to be able to confront some uncomfortable conversations. And that is something that comes very naturally to me.
Yeah. No, I love it. I'm so fascinated by psychology. Like if I was to go back to college, it would either be to, I failed out of college. I have no business being in a classroom whatsoever. So I was out in less than a year. But if I was going to go study something.
You didn't you?
maybe a couple. If I was to go back to school, it would probably be to get a degree in accounting and finance, or to get a degree in psychology, because the study of the human mind and human behavior is just so fascinating to me. I think that it's, I don't know, I love people and I love helping people. And I'm also vastly interested in what makes people tick and what their fears are and how they get around those things and this and that and the other thing. So that's just really interesting. So cool. I didn't know that about you. Take me back to that first couple of years. You know, you said this is something that you've become so incredibly passionate about, is helping agents navigate those 2 years. But take me back to, take us all back to those 2 years. And do you feel like there were points in those 2 years, like where, you know, like everybody always says, if I know now what I knew then, or if I knew then what I know now, whatever. Do you feel like there are two or three key things you're like, oh my gosh, if I would have known this back in those first 2 years, like it would just have been completely different?
Well, yeah. So if going into the business, I had known to get to a live event, like for me, what the turning point in my career was, I went to an event for real estate agents, and it was at a moment that I was online. This is a crazy story. And this is like, I wish I knew the date that this happened, because it was a moment in time. I was Googling online, like all different terms, trying to find an answer to how I was going to get myself out of what I felt like was a slump. And I'm like an optimistic person to the core, but I felt like this sense of being lost, right? I'm Googling, and I got a junk email from Craig Proctor. At the exact moment, like, I'm like, whoa, this is so crazy. And it said, like, do you want to make more money in less time, essentially learn our systems and processes and like become magnetic to clients, right? And so what I thought I was getting by going to the conference was the ability to learn how to advertise and get clients interested in me. But what I really got was clarity and social proof around what I wanted to create in my life. Because all of a sudden I met people who had huge teams. At least they seemed huge to me at the time, right? Like 4 people on a team. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. So I got really clear. So the first tip that I would have is get yourself to a live event right away. And then that'll help you crystallize your vision, because you'll get to talk to so many different people that are ahead of you and are where you want to go, that it just becomes a really good path to compress time. The second thing is hire a coach, and don't hire any coach. Know all the numbers about that coach. Understand their business, how they've structured it, what their life looks like. To me, work-life balance is really important. And so if I were to hire a coach that is working 100 hours a week in their business and I would try and grow my model after their model, that would make zero sense. So I see a lot of people that hire the wrong coach. For me, I have experienced that, and I've had some hard times because I've been in a program where I was like putting a, you know, a circle peg in a round hole where they were trying to get me to be somebody I'm not. You have to hire somebody that you're going to follow what they've done. And I would recommend that they're not only one step ahead of you, because if you hire a coach that's still making a ton of mistakes with where you're about to go, they're like leading you down their path astray. So I would say hire somebody who's substantially ahead of where you want to be, and they're on the right track, because they're going to help you avoid the mistakes. And the third is invest in your people. The people are absolutely key. So I think one of the mistakes I made at first is that I hired people who didn't have enough experience. And I could have made better hiring decisions if I were just to pay a little bit more. So by paying a little bit more, the caliber of person you're going to get on your team is going to substantially change what the world looks like for you and how quickly you progress. So those would be my top three.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I could not agree more with all three of these points. I mean, getting to a live event totally transformed. Now, obviously, we're in different ways, but totally transformed my life in a huge way. For me, it was in a contact that I made that helped me go from doing okay to doing freaking incredible in like 90 days. And the trajectory that you can put yourself up on is just absolutely so powerful. And having a coach, I've gone back and tracked this because I've just been fascinated with what's happened in my life when I've had a coach and what's happened in my life when I didn't have a coach. So if I look back into my early years, I was an athlete, loved the game of baseball. I had a huge passion for it. I wanted to play professional baseball. And you know, when I had a coach and listened to him, which is another important part of that, you got to listen to your coach. When I listened to him, I did what he said. You know, I was on a fast track to success. I was an all-state player. I had, was accomplishing this, that, and the other thing, so on and so forth. Carry that into the business world. When I didn't have mentors, thought I knew it all, had an ego as big as this office I'm sitting in, it was crazy how fast success just kind of died off. But it was also crazy how long it felt like it took. Like, you feel like you have this egotistical bias, I guess, where you're like, oh, everything's fine. It's going to be great. I'm just in a lull. And this lull carries on like a year, 2 years, whatever. And so yeah. your business can totally go down this path where you feel like everything's great, but the truth is things are headed, you know, downhill fast. And when I was able to install coaches back into my life in a big way, income turns the exact opposite direction. It starts racing to the top. And so I've made a commitment to basically not ever go a period where I don't have a coach. And I have mentors in every aspect of my life, physically, mentally, spiritually, financially, business. I mean, just anything that you could think of, I think that you should have somebody that you are taking some of your advice from 1,000%, especially somebody that has been where you've been. That's one of the most important parts. When I've listened to people that had no business giving me advice, it was tragic what happened, for sure. And
to that point, I think evolving where you have specialized coaches and different things that you're working on, that is excellent advice as someone progresses and they can kind of look at it and say, what are the real areas? Like for me too, I have a coach that helps me with different elements of life. I have an energy coach now, which if you asked me years ago, I would have been like, oh no, you only need one coach, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
The other thing about hiring the right coach, I had a coach for me that I feel really stunted my growth. He believed that you could only grow 20% a year. And so I was coming off of growing like 147%, right? Like, oh, your systems are going to be all out of whack and this is going to be broken and that's going to be broken. And this is the number, 20% a year. I'm not a 20% a year growth person. Mm. So I kept fighting his system. So he obviously wasn't the right coach, but I liked certain elements about him. So making the decision to go outside of that was a hard one. Actually, I didn't make the decision. He fired me from the program for not listening. So he made the decision for me.
He made the decision for you. There you go.
Best decision ever, because I didn't realize how stunted my growth was until I got out of it. And then I'm like, no, I don't want to grow 20% a year. Like, I'm going to, like, this year, our goal is to go from 500 transactions to 1,000, which at our size, I don't know another team that has doubled.
And you guys are on track too, right? Like, you guys are pacing the way that you need to be.
We're hiring. So what's happening, we closed 365 transactions. I think it was last week we got to that number closed. So we're outpacing with the ratification. So it's going to be tight. I mean, we're going to have to really hustle.
There you go. Love it. Love it. The last thing you said is invest in your people. And I think this is one of the single hardest things to do in a business, is to build a culture, establish a culture, maintain a culture. And there are emotions that you don't think that you would feel when you get other people involved. When it comes to hiring, when it comes to firing, when it comes to building culture, when it comes to all the little bitty nuances that that just comes with being a leader. And I want to ask, like, how do you feel you were able to really successfully go from, you know, a monster producer to building monster producers? Like, you've made this transition where you obviously were the person doing a lot of business. You stepped out of that. You began to build a business, and a real business. And then you started building producers. Like, what was that transition like for you? What did you learn through that?
Well, the number one lesson for me is you have to have duplicatable systems. So I think a lot of salespeople, which, let me back up, I have a fourth tip in growing the business. Do not reinvent the wheel. Find smart people who have done things and copy them, right? You don't need to have everything be built from scratch. So for me, if I went to a conference, it would be like these five people that I met that had systems that I wanted to duplicate in my market, that I added value to their business in some way, and they let me copy a system. So that was part of how I created successful people, because I had so many systems duplicated and in place that I viewed the job of a buyer agent and a listing agent as something that had to be duplicatable, where I wasn't a unicorn, amazing salesperson. I think too many leaders are like, I'm doing this, why can't you? Well, guess what? They're not you. And so if you just try and have them go in a room and chit chat and get an agreement signed, that's not gonna work. I think you have to boil it down to an exact process and teach them exactly how you want them to do it. For me, even if I hire someone who's been in the business for 15 years, I'm very clear. You're going to do it my way first. Once you master my way, I'm really open to your opinion, but I'm not interested in your opinion until you're doing it my way. Because a lot of times when you hire an agent that has experience, they have bad habits. And so if you just take them and say, oh, you know, you have all this experience, fantastic, welcome to our system, they're still going to make the mistakes that they've been making when they're doing it their way. So if you're really clear about how they can convert in the best possible way, and then you emulate that, you have someone shadow you. And there, for me, when I transitioned out of listing, I had somebody that was on every appointment with me probably for almost a year. And then very slowly, I didn't just say, okay, now you shadowed me, go for it. That's not how I train, right? My system, and this is part of Hyperfast Academy, anyone who wants my training, it's out there. I said, I'm videoing it for my team. Why don't I make it available to support agents who, like me in the beginning of my career, don't have the support. They don't know the process. They don't know the system that they would even duplicate, right? Because they are the unicorn amazing salesperson, and that's why they're succeeding. But that's not a system. So once I had the way our listing process works, there's the phase where we're building rapport and we're strategizing about the process and we're walking them through how that's going to work. And then there's the phase when we're seeing the house, and then we're actually talking about pricing and getting the agreement signed, right? So what I did with the person who was shadowing me, at first I would do the beginning until I had the client's commitment separate of the pricing and commission that they were going to move forward. So I knew if I already closed them, I could let the person who was shadowing me present the comps. And that would be really good practice because that scares people. But if I already had the sale, then if something went wrong, I would just clean it up and we'd get it signed. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we knew, okay, if I get them to commit to working with us, then she does this part. If they're not committed for some reason, then I do, because I might take it away and do it when I come back the next time or something like that. Then eventually, once I felt she really had that down, we switched roles. And then I would do the comps if they didn't have the commitment, and she would do the whole thing if we had the commitment. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way that I feel like we didn't, our conversion really did not go down. And a lot of people say, oh, well, when you turn it over to somebody else, the conversion is going to go way down. It doesn't have to. That's just the system that you set up and how strong your system is.
Yeah. And I think, like, adding to that, how much you're willing to train. Like, so many people feel like, you know, when an agent comes in, okay, great, I don't have to think about that anymore. That person's got it. And they don't spend any time training them, teaching them, educating them on the systems that they have built that have got them to that level of success. And it's a huge tragedy, because people do develop that belief, like, well, nobody can do it as good as me, I guess, and so on and so forth, which isn't really true. It's just that you didn't sit down and teach people.
That also means your limitation as a leader is that you don't know how to create a system that anyone can follow that's the right fit. So you're going to hire, that's the other thing, you're going to, 50% of the people that you hire, and that's Gary Keller's statistic, not mine, are probably not going to be the right fit for the job you hire them for. So they're either not the right fit for the team, or they're just not the right, the right fit for the role that you thought they were the right fit for. So from my perspective, when someone comes in, part of the trick of our system is we not only train them, we also test them out. And so what a test out looks like is going through the entire process from when the phone call comes in all the way till after the closing occurs, where you're role playing real time with that person, and they're either going to succeed or fail after going through the training. So that's where we find a lot of people bow out, because they can't handle the pressure. They haven't studied enough. They're not going to succeed. And if they come to test out unprepared, that's a real problem in our system, right? That's probably a 4-hour process in our system to go through a test out. So if you show up and you don't nail it, you're going to be given another chance, but it's not like we're going to test you out forever. You're either going to sink or swim, right? And we're not going to let you have the opportunity to ever work with a client until that's done.
Yeah. Which is a great way to be. It's a great system. It's great policy. And I think that you've got to make sure that when you're implementing new systems, that people can follow them. And we could probably jump down a rabbit hole, like systems and systems and systems and systems right here. But, you know, what are some ways that people can do this? You know, because everybody, and everybody's mind listening to this right now, they're probably thinking like, well, Carrie just doesn't sleep, and she probably works 24 hours a day, and she probably spends all this time training all these people. And, you know, the very act of creating a system is backed off of creating a system. Like, I could have never have grown to, you know, the over 2,000 students that we have if I was doing it all by myself, one at a time, really manual. I had to create a training platform. I pre-recorded all my material. I can bring on 1,000 students a day if, you know, I could accomplish that, right? And it would never require any more work from me.
Yep.
How were you guys able to create a process that allowed you, and allow, continues to allow you, to bring in these top producers, get them trained so quickly, and get them out into the workforce?
Sure. So a big part of it was video. So I started doing video forever ago, and some of those videos are incredibly hideous. So feel free to check that on our YouTube channel. Like, so bad. But I started doing video for training. So what that meant to me, if I was going to take someone through the training process, I recorded the whole thing. Sometimes it was on a screen recording, sometimes it was on a camera, but then I would basically edit it together. If I was in a room answering questions for agents, I was recording them, so then I would have a catalog of questions. But what I realized is, when I sat down to watch that, putting myself in the place of the person who was going through the training, it was boring as hell. I couldn't even like stay focused on what was happening long enough to engage. So now what I did, and everybody can benefit from this, it's not that expensive, right? I actually broke it into chapters where it's going to keep somebody who has a short attention span focused. And my recommendation when they're going through that is that at the end of the chapters, they're tested out in mini test outs from the chapter. So if you're a team leader and you don't want to spend 2 weeks onboarding a new agent, you could set it up so that you really spend 2 hours onboarding that agent, and then you do their test out. So the 2 hours would be, you know, you're working and they're watching the video. And then at the end of the chapters, you're just asking, what questions do you have? Was everything clear to you? Great. And then you have them pair up and role play. So this is a critical thing. I used to be the one that they were role playing with back in the day. So that meant not only was I doing the test out, but I also was like pushing them and having them practice. Now we have different homework that they have every night during their test out phase when they're preparing for it. And they're going home and they're talking to a friend, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a husband, a wife, right? And they're actually going through the whole process. And then if there's a part that they're struggling with, they're just laser focused and they're doing that specific part with three different people. So really, if you have 2 hours and you're just hyper focused on what are the things you need to ask at the various phases to move them forward and prevent them from getting stuck in their head, it doesn't take that much time. And then the test out, one of the things that we do on occasion, we have some of our senior agents that we know are really good, video the test out. And then the sales manager can watch that test out. So for people watching, you can watch that test out even if you're not able to be in the office for the whole 4 hours. If you know that one part is the challenge, which for us in the buyer process, it's the reality check analysis. That's the hardest part. So I may say, okay, everything else passed, but I want to see you do this part with me live. So that's it's a good way to make it really easy and not a lot of time, but still making sure they actually have the skills. Because I find what most agents are doing is saying, do this way. And then they just assume that the people have got it, but they're human and they're processing. And so unfortunately, about 50% of what you're saying, they're not getting. They're going to have to watch the video more than once to really have it sink in for many of them. For some of them, they're going to watch it one time. They're going to be natural at it and they're going to want to go to test out. So what we do is let everyone else watch the test out, because then you're moving the skill level of all the people that are watching that are feeling a little less comfortable. You're spending that time training the one person, but you're also training everybody else.
Love it. I love it. I think that that's something that so few people pay attention to is knowledge retention. You know, talking about going to a live event, you're going to retain like 10 to 20% of what you hear, maybe. And that's if you took really good notes and you remember where you put them. But there's actually a really, really fascinating study around this topic. And if you guys get a chance, you should go look it up. It's Google Blue's Clues case study on repetitive episodes or something like that. But Blue's Clues figured out that instead of creating 12 to 16 episodes per season, instead they would just rerun one episode 3 to 4 times. And by the third or fourth time that they did that, the child would have finally figured out all the clues. So they were only able to process one or two things from that initial episode, and then they would get it. And then the next time they would watch it, they would get something else. And the next time they would get it, they would get something, or watch it, they would get something else. And it totally sent Blue's Clues numbers through the roof, because they really figured out how they could keep kids energized by not blowing them past too many things. So for example, my son right now, what movie is he watching? He loves The Grinch, the newest one. He loves the movie Home. We just got done watching, I don't remember what movie, like at least 60,000 times. But I understood.
How old is he? So I have perspective.
Maverick is 2.5. He'll be 3 coming up soon. It'll be my wife says, what do they call it? A three-nager? Is that what they call it? Because he's definitely got like the terrible three thing going on. He's a little Tasmanian devil. He could destroy a house faster than anything I've ever seen. She said that she thinks he's going to be a three-nager. So that should be fun. But I understood after I kind of looked at that study, I was like, that's why he watches these movies 1,000 times, because when he finally is like, all right, I don't want to watch it anymore, it's because he now understands the whole movie. And, it's just fascinating. But anyway, we grow into adults. So some of those behavioral things don't necessarily change. We still can only process so much information, which is why you should, you know, if you take courses or you take training, I mean, you should definitely go through those things, more than once. But it's good on you to pick up that, you know, most people aren't going to get that. And so we created policies around those people, but it also allowed us to work with the top producers right there in one go too. That's pretty awesome.
Well, and the top producers are going to be even harder to train because they have a way they already do it. And so what happened with me is I got really frustrated. And for a few years, I'm like, I'm not hiring top producers anymore. I'm only hiring brand new people to the industry because I can train them so much faster, right? But the truth is I wasn't skilled enough as a trainer yet to get through to those people. So they would be distracted because they would be in their own head thinking about, well, I do it this way and this is why I do it this way and all of those things. And they would totally miss what I was saying. And then we would go to test them out. And it was like, was anyone listening to me? Well, they weren't. Like, they really weren't. Right, and yeah. I needed to learn how to get to break through whatever was preventing them from listening to really get them to understand why it was the better way. So actually in our video training, if you go through the listing training or the buyer agent course, you'll see the role play and then you'll see me break from the role play and explain why. Well, if I didn't break from the role play and explain why, all of those top producers would never do it the way the role play was done.
Mm-hmm. Makes a lot of sense. I love it. I love it. I love it. I want to be super respectful. I can't believe we've already been on here for 45 minutes. So this is awesome. Awesome stuff. Hopefully, we've talked about a few different things, but hopefully if you guys are watching this, you've picked up the gold that is definitely inside of this episode. What is hyperfast agent? I know that you guys are, you know, big from a production standpoint. You still are in production. You still have a massive company. You're still doing incredible things. But what is hyperfast agent? How did that come about?
So my husband actually came home one day and said, he knew, like, I've always been passionate about helping agents. So I'm the person at the bar at 3 o'clock in the morning at the real estate event when it's like me and one person talking to them about all. So I just, my whole career since the very first live event I went to, I feel like I get so much gold from collaborating with other agents, which is why I love podcasts. I love these conversations, right? So he came home and said, you know, I've really been thinking about it. And what if we built a coaching business? And my biggest fear instantly was like, I don't have time for that. Right. So major limiting belief, like how would I possibly, you know, dig into everybody's businesses the way I did it? Again, that was a limitation of me not knowing how I would be able to have impact. So fast forward to today, we now have Hyperfast Academy, which is a place people can go to get our exact same training that we have for our agents. We train on everything imaginable, everything from the first conversation to how to throw client events, everything. And then we also have an Inner Circle. So that's a Facebook group where we're regularly on there answering questions and kind of helping people with strategy and growth. And then we have an elite coaching program, and that they can actually come to masterminds at our office. So this is the first time I'm publicly talking about that. People have been asking for it and we're rolling it out. We had our first person sign up today and we haven't announced it yet. So
nice. Congrats.
Thank you. Yeah. Elite coaching is going to have 6 in-office visits where we're digging into different issues and we're having our team participate. So as an example, if they're wanting to know, how do I train a new team member? How do I train an admin? How do I hire an admin? We'll have like specific brain dumps with all the people who are responsible for that on our team and with myself and my husband so that we can really take them through. And it's not just teaching them, it's actually making sure they got it and then they know how to execute it in their business.
I love it. That's awesome. It sounds like a great opportunity. You know, obviously anytime you go learn from somebody doing 300 plus transactions a year is a great opportunity. But how do you feel like that helps you remaining a practitioner, right? You guys have stayed in the business. You haven't done what other people have done where you've gotten out of production and you've kind of rolled into coaching. Like, you guys have remained practitioners of what it is that you teach. It seems like, how do you feel like that's impacted you, you know, positive or negative, in building a business where you teach other people your processes?
Sure. Well, I think having our finger on the pulse of exactly what's happening in the business, it's changing so fast. Mm. So I would struggle to trust a coach right now in the climate of this business that's not actively in it. Like, if somebody tells me, oh, talk to a client and say this, I'm like, when's the last time you had that conversation with a client, you know?
Yeah. So I totally get what you're saying. I mean, we work with a lot of we don't really like work with a lot of coaches, but there are a lot of coaches that have picked, you know, our company up and said, hey, we're struggling to teach people the social media thing. It's not our world. And I hear a ton of coaches, like they'll get students in, they'll say, okay, it's time to pick up the phone and start dialing. It's like, wait a second. Like that's how you built a business 5 or 10 years ago. And it's just not, it works today. It's a short-term solution to a long-term problem. And you're going to look up in 3 to 5 years. And if you don't have a media company, you're going to have a very tough time working in the industry or creating any type of name for yourself. So the social media part, obviously it's great for me if, you know, coaches don't, cause then I get to jump in and I get to help them with that. But, I definitely understand what you're saying. You've got a ton of agents going to work at these brokerages where the brokers built their business in the '90s or the early 2000s. And it's just a different climate right now. It's totally, totally different than it was.
Well, and the reason 90% of agents don't make it is because they're picking up the phone book and trying to do it the old way, and they're going to burn out, and that nobody wants to do that. Like that is the grind that people are willing to do to get their business started, but it's not how they want to do it. So if there's a better way, you know, for me, that's not the way that I could have got into the business. It's like, I don't know what I would be doing. I'd be riding around on that Wienermobile. And then the other thing that I think is really cool about being involved in both, we learn so much from all of the people that we're coaching and that we're involved in their daily lives about what their challenges are. So we know how to better train our own team and some of the challenges that they may be facing. Even it's like, they ask me a question. I'm like, oh, I need to make sure my team has clarification on that too. So it's a win-win on both sides.
I got one more question for you. You know, somebody listening to this is like, all right, well, obviously I need to create some training or I need to create a system or so on and so forth. You could sit down and I could probably sit here for, I don't know, at least a full day, 24 hours, and write all of the systems and processes and policies that I could create. And I don't believe in doing that. And I don't know what your take is on it is, but I believe in a process that we call active documentation. We work with a ton of people and trying to help them create systems. And it's like, look, don't sit down and try to create all these things at one time. When you're actively documenting, what's happening is you kind of act like an attorney. An attorney documents their life in 3 to 7 minute phases. So they will sit down, they will take notes on what the last few minutes looked like, and that's how they're able to remember, pass notes back to their secretary. Their secretary has a process for getting those notes in systems and so on and so forth. When you are sitting down to maybe write that buyer's contract, that's when you record training about it. Because yeah, you might do 2 or 3 minutes of extra work, but what you did is you just created an asset that will now go off and work for you time and time and time and time again. What's y'all's take on that? What is your process for creating these different types of things?
So it used to be exactly what you're saying. We would do it real time. But then when I watched it and I found it boring, I actually did the whole process with the idea of being more interesting and engaging what the skepticism, going back to my psychology degree, what would prevent someone from following the script, the system, the process, and let me just address that with them in the moment when they're having the doubt. So I would say when we took our system to the next level, we actually changed what I had been doing, which was exactly what you're saying, the real time. Documentation.
Love it. Cool. Awesome. Awesome. Well, Carrie, I thank you so much for jumping by and chatting with us today. I learned a ton. Everybody always hears me say I got a page full of notes, but I always probably learn more from these things than anybody listening to them does. that's okay. Hopefully you guys, if you listen to this, you got a ton of information from it. Carrie, what is the single greatest way for somebody to connect with you if they wanted to reach out?
I would say Instagram. I'm on Instagram a lot these days. So if you guys are interested, and you see the hyper fast, you can also check out that website because we've talked about that a lot. But if you want to talk to me, hit me up on Instagram.
Definitely reach out, connect. She is super approachable. I know she's very, very busy, but we kind of got connected because I think it was on Instagram. I reached out to her. Actually, I think it was through Dan. And then I reached out through you and we got connected and you know, we've chatted it up. But she's super approachable. She has a huge heart, huge passion, and she definitely wants to help. So hopefully you guys, if you're listening to this, reach out and connect with her. I think that you will be very, very happy that you did. Carrie, thank you so much for jumping by and chatting with us today. I can't tell you how much it means to me personally. Genuinely, thank you. And I look forward to seeing you out there sometime soon. I'm sure we'll connect in person.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Awesome, guys. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Appreciate you so much. Please make sure that you rate us on iTunes, Google Play. Continue to listen on the website. You guys are absolutely incredible. And we will see you on the next episode. Peace.
Bye.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in to the Marketing Genius Podcast. We hope you got a ton of value from the show today. Make sure that you rate us on iTunes and Google Play, and we will look forward to seeing you on the next episode.